This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more.
Donald Trump and his 4 criminal cases. It is an unprecedented position for a former American president to be in. And with the first one kicking off in New York ahead of an election year where he will be the Republican candidate again, we thought a recce would be helpful. So in this episode, we're going to fly over all of that Trump news in a way that makes it easy to follow what is going on. And we'll also give you a roadmap for the rest of the year. Squiz Shortcuts is the backstory to the big news stories. I'm Alex Tai.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Claire, we really get it here at the Squiz. There is a lot of Donald Trump news, and for some people, that is a bit off-putting. But there is also a presidential election this year, and the man is a human headline generator.
And look, it's one of the good things that we do at the Squiz. We'll give you the facts. We're not going to spin it into a frenzy. So if you just want a quick and easy way to make sense of it all, Shortcuts is definitely your podcast. And look, tell your friends who might like to get that sort of approach too, because I reckon we're pretty unique. And this is going to be a really big news story this year.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And we also do a newsletter, so make sure you're signed up to that as well. The link is in your episode notes. Now, Claire, the reason why there are so many headlines about Donald Trump is because he just has a lot going on. He is running again to be president of the United States, and meanwhile, he has been indicted in 4 criminal cases.
So there are 2 major civil cases as well, but sticking with the criminal cases, there are 2 federal cases and 2 state cases.
Yes, and let's start with the 2 federal cases. So these are alleged crimes where prosecutors are basically saying that Trump has committed crimes against the whole of the United States. The first case has to do with what happened on January 6th, 2021, which was the day that Trump supporters stormed the US Capitol building in Washington and tried to disrupt the certification of Joe Biden as the next president. So that case, that first federal case, is known as the election interference case because Trump has been charged there with disrupting Congress and trying to defraud the United States. So that case has some pretty heavy allegations.
Yeah, it's a really heavy and serious one. The second federal case is the classified documents case. This one has to do with Trump taking boxes and boxes of sensitive documents from his time as president and storing them at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. You might have seen some of those pictures that show all of these boxes stored around the resort, including in a toilet and an unused shower. It was really quite extraordinary.
Yes, Trump has also been charged in that case with trying to obstruct investigators in recovering those documents. So, Claire, neither of those 2 federal cases is looking like they are going to a trial anytime soon.
No, and this is a really big part of the story. Donald Trump and his legal team have been extraordinarily successful in delaying those cases. Mm. They've filed motion after motion to try and get the cases dismissed or caught up in these technicalities. Basically, what they're trying to do is to delay them as much as possible.
Yes, and as for why Trump is trying to delay those cases, the general consensus amongst political watchers in the US is that if Trump can just manage to get elected as president, then when he's in charge, he'll be able to make these federal cases just go away.
Yep, that is the theory. So that gives you a sense of that delay. The first case that we talked about, the January 6th election interference case, that case was originally meant to go to trial on the 4th of March this year, and clearly that didn't happen. It could be months for the case to come before the court if it does actually go to trial ever.
Yes, and just to get the dates down, the presidential election is on the 5th of November. So that is a real looming deadline for those 2 federal cases if Trump does win the election. But Claire, there are also the two state cases, which might be a little harder to wave away. So let's run through those next.
A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. The steel made from iron ore plays an important role in providing the production of our energy infrastructure, from wind turbines to power poles. So cutting carbon emissions in iron ore production is key. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power its port facilities at Port Hedland. It's happening now at BHP.
On the state cases, let's begin with the case from the state of Georgia, because it is also in the realm of being connected to that 2020 election result. So the Georgia case is very similar to the federal election interference case. A prosecutor in Georgia has alleged that Trump worked with underlings to try and mess with the rightful results in Georgia in this mafia-like criminal conspiracy.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpick about that case. But the reason why it's being brought in Georgia is because it comes down to the presidential election. The votes of that state really, really mattered. What happened there was Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by under 12,000 votes. And that was a state where nearly 5 million people voted. So very, very close.
Yes. And the prosecutor in that case alleges that 19 people, including Trump, tried to overturn that close result in the days after the election. So it's a big and sprawling case, which has also, Claire, been caught up in significant delays. So that one isn't looking like it'll be in court anytime soon. And that leads us to the final criminal case. And Claire, as we record this episode, that final state-based criminal case is on trial in court at the moment in the state of New York.
Yeah, and to give the overview of what's going on, that case has to do with the events way back in 2016 when Donald Trump was first having a run at being president. Nobody knew this at the time, but an adult film star named Stormy Daniels was preparing to reveal that the two had been involved in a sexual relationship. That isn't a crime, but what prosecutors do allege is that Trump used campaign money to pay for her silence and then lied about how he used that money.
Yeah, so there are strict campaign finance rules in elections, and if Trump used his election funds as so-called hush money and then lied on business forms about what that money was for, then that is a problem and an alleged crime. So you will often hear this New York case referred to as the, quote, hush money case.
So, Alex, as you say, it's currently in court. It's scheduled to run for about 6 weeks, so there's going to be no shortage of news there. But the final thing to note is that even if Trump is found guilty, it's unlikely that he'd be going to jail before an election in November, if at all.
Yeah, and this is a big question of whether Trump is actually going to go to jail. So we should say that in this New York case, even if he were convicted, it's not certain that he would be sentenced to jail time. But if he were convicted and sentenced to jail time, then there would be appeals and delays, and he probably wouldn't be looking at jail until next year. And a further caveat, if he is found guilty, which isn't a given, and he is given jail time, then if he also wins the presidency, then there are possible ways for him to get out of going to jail in New York.
Yeah, Alex, there's a lot of ifs there. So it's entirely possible that Trump is able to actually navigate all of these criminal cases, not just that one in New York. There's lots of wrangling being done at the moment and lots of questions still to be answered.
Yes, that's the criminal cases, though. So let's round this episode out by talking about the civil cases that Trump has been involved in. And we mentioned at the top that there are two major cases. So both of these are also based in New York, where Trump lived and also did most of his business. So these are well advanced, but they keep coming up in the coverage about his legal woes. So it's good to get across them, we think. The first one has to do with the writer E. Jean Carroll.
And we're trying to avoid confusion as much as possible with this shortcut, but the E. Jean Carroll case is really two cases. The first one, Carroll alleged that Trump had sexually assaulted her in the mid-90s in a department store change room and then defamed her when she raised that allegation publicly.
So Carol won that case, meaning that the court found that Trump had sexually assaulted her and that he'd defamed her too, with a penalty of $5 million. Now, that leads us to the second Carol case, because Trump defamed her again after losing the first case. He called her a con job.
Yep, and then Trump lost that case last year, and it meant that he had to pay Carol a much, much higher amount, $83 million. Trump hasn't actually handed over that cash yet, but he's given the court a bond worth that amount while he appeals that second Carol judgment.
Now, that leads us to the final civil case we've got there. This one was brought by the Attorney General of New York, who claimed essentially that the Trump Organization had committed fraud in its business dealings by lying about the value of its properties in order to get better deals from banks and insurers.
So Trump, his sons, and other Trump Organization executives were found guilty of that. You might have seen some headlines in mid-March saying that they owed a fine of $454 million. That amount was later reduced to $175 million on appeal.
All right, Claire. So four criminal cases, two major civil cases. After all of that, a big question is any of this affecting his chances of being elected president again?
Yeah, it is the multi-million dollar question, it seems. And Donald Trump remains extremely popular with Republican voters, even with those findings against him in those two civil cases and those four criminal cases still to go against him. In fact, with his supporters, those cases actually prove his narrative that the state's out to get him and that these government elites who are making the decisions aren't good for America.
Yeah, and if you actually look at the polling, for the past couple of months, Donald Trump has been in the lead against Joe Biden, but that gap has been closing recently. And look, there is a long time to go before the election, so I'm sure there are going to be plenty of updates before November 5th. But for now, that is your shortcut to Donald Trump's legal cases. Each week on the podcast, we like to give further reading, watching, or listening related to the topic of the episode. And this week, Claire, I have got a podcast I want to recommend. It is the Run-Up podcast from the New York Times. It's really, really well made. It has got some excellent reporting from behind the scenes of the election. And like I said, just really good reporting.
Alex, I'm going to recommend the shortcuts that you have done in recent times. I say that because this is your last Squiz shortcut with us. You're leaving the Squiz very sadly for us. We've really appreciated these shortcuts that you've generated for us, and we've thoroughly enjoyed having you on board.
Oh, thank you, Claire. I really, really appreciate that. What do I say now? I guess if you like what you heard, please tell people about the podcast. And if you have any requests, you can send them through to hello@thesquiz.com.au for someone else to pick up. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.